Kelvin Davis is with us, as always, on a Tuesday morning. Te lakwe, Kelvin. Thanks for joining us.
Morena, Dale, and can we start off with that very issue about the prioritisation of Māori on wait list?
Go for it.
Yeah, look, for 183 years, non-Māori have been prioritised on wait lists. What this doesn't mean is that the Pākehā having a heart attack gets pushed down the list while the Māori with an ingrown toenail or tonsillitis gets pushed above them. You know, what doctors will do is make their professional judgment as who has the most chronic need and treat that person first. But I guess if you've got two people with ingrown toenails, one's a Māori, one's a Pākehā, everything else taken into account, probably the Māori might get the ingrown toenail fixed first. I just think it's totally wrong of Shane Leti, a Māori doctor, to stand there and pretend that Māori with that Māori have been treated equitably and fairly throughout the 183 years. He's defending a system that is wrong.
Well, he'll get a chance to talk that one through himself too later in the morning. What about the getting tough on gangs routine? I mean, you've been around in the political scene for a while. The law and order issue is a hot one when it comes election year. They've seized on this also, a bit scant on detail, but it's well-tried political rhetoric in an election year.
Yeah, it is political rhetoric. I mean, look, there is an issue with gangs. We know that. But then again, can I just move to ram raids? Because, you know, it's all sort of tied up in the same thing, is that 0.38% of crime is ram raids, but it's consuming almost 100% of people's attention. A picture of perhaps 1,000 words, so the most accurate set of facts around ram raids, for example, can be outdone by one picture of young kids in a car. And it's likewise with gangs. Like, they are there are issues. But, you know, if the police had bowled into a Portiki the other day, guns drawn and all that sort of stuff and rounded, it would have just been mayhem, and it would have made even better pictures for the news media, and would have been even a better story for those who are railing against gangs. Something has to be done, but it's about engaging with them in the first instance. So there's a person, I won't say who it is, up north, who is called in the gang leaders, a community person, called in gang leaders of all the various gangs, and said, you keep these areas, get out of there. And the gangs are actually really listening, because this person has engaged directly with them and said, stay away. So, you know, it is about engaging. It is about also challenging them on their behaviour. And where they break the law, they need to be held to account. But, you know, they're not getting off scot-free, which is what the opposition want to tell you that is happening.
There's a bit of a fascination about gang culture by mainstream media. It's just a bit by-the-by for us in the Māori world, because, you know, we know people who are associated with gangs, and we know what drove them to gang life too all those years ago. But there's a bit of fascination, so sensationalising the situation was part of the mainstream diet, I see, through middle New Zealand media. And I was mentioning in our little hui yesterday that I think that, and moi mai rā to our bro who's passed away in a Portiki, but his funeral got more coverage than Princess Diana's. Well, maybe that's fair enough too, but there was just sensationalising the situation there. And as you say, if the cops had gone in with guns drawn, we'd be talking about it for hundreds of years to come. Listen, I spoke with Neil Beals yesterday, who you'd know, and it was to do with the Independent Office of the Inspectorate and solitary confinement. One thing I didn't perhaps factor in was COVID and whether some of these stats coincided with COVID, or whether that had played a part in those statistics. Are you aware if that's the case?
Well, look, as much as we hate to talk about COVID these days, we can't deny the impact that it had on a range of things, not just in corrections. So in terms of seclusion, people needed to be secluded. When they came in, someone was arrested and then they were remanded, the entry into prison, they had to be kept separate to make sure that they didn't have COVID and couldn't pass it on throughout the prison population. And so that did happen. Corrections, a year or so before COVID, had a measles outbreak, and they used seclusion then to confine measles. Now, you imagine if measles had got through the prison population, that would have just been horrendous. So they actually had practice. So they put in place what they did for measles with COVID, but it did mean that people were secluded, but it saved lives. That's the main thing. You know, we'd be having a totally another conversation if people hadn't been secluded with COVID, and we'd had fatalities in our prisons like they had overseas. So, you know, we don't like to talk about COVID anymore because we like to think it's gone, but I think the impact and the there's still some residue of the impact of COVID, and we, you know, we have to talk about it when it comes up.
Tēnā koe, the as Associate Minister of Ed, we have another industrial action from secondary teachers looming, and of course there's also talk of young Māori and Pacifica kids. I noticed on RNZ last night when I was listening that you know, many are forced to have jobs and longer hours than would be appropriate with regards to their schooling. There's a couple of thoughts there of the industrial action looming and kids being forced to work because parents need assistance to pay the power bill.
Yeah, first of all, look, I'd rather not go into the looming industrial action other than to say that I think that New Zealand is over it, and people are, you know, and again, as a result of COVID, parents know that their children have had enough time out of school. Parents know that, you know, hate having to take time off work. And I think that, you know, people are just over their kids not being able to go to school. That's the first thing. In terms of young people having to work, look, yeah, it's shouldn't be right. Children should be at school as long as possible so that they can get the decent qualifications, they can get those decent jobs that do pay well and they don't perpetuate the cycle. It's not a new problem, Dale. Again, let's not pretend that this has just happened. You know, when I was at school, I had mates that left early to help. They'd go and work at the freezing works to help their whānau. So it's not a new issue. The best way to break the cycle is to be in school and stay in school and get those qualifications that help you to get the highest paying jobs.
Thanks, Shane. Thanks so much, Calvin. Good talking with you. I appreciate your thoughts on Tuesday morning's Gamahi.
Kia ora, Dale.
Tēnā koe. Little slip of the tongue there because listening to that was Shane Jones.